Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing on our series on looking at Jesus on the cross and the words that he says as he suffers and dies for our sakes. And as we continue to look at Jesus on the cross, this week we hear him cry out in a desolate voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God. My God, why have you forsaken me?" These words come as a cry from the heart of God as he feels the enormous weight of the sin of humanity separating him from the other members of the Trinity. This is a cry that is given on our behalf, Jesus taking that unbearable punishment so that we don't have to experience it for ourselves. This is the glorious empathy that our God has for us, so that he spares us the suffering that we bring upon ourselves. So I'm going to start by reading the account of Jesus giving that cry from Mark 15, starting at verse 21 and going to verse 36. "A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They then offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, 'The King of the Jews.' They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, 'So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself.' In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. 'He saved others,' they said, 'but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe.' Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing near heard this, they said, 'Listen, he's calling Elijah.' Someone rang, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down.'" So as we look at the cry of pain and abandonment that Jesus offers, we recognise in these words an invitation to empathy. To receive the empathy and compassion Christ has for us, and to emulate his empathic nature and have compassion and empathy for those around us. But what does it actually mean when we say that Christ had empathy with us? We'll look at how Jesus took on torment physically, mentally and emotionally, and spiritually, so that we could be spared. Because of this, we have a God who can truly empathise with whatever we face, whatever we feel. In this desperate, pain-filled cry, we recognise that Jesus understands and can empathise fully with what it means to be human. And this knowledge can give us immense comfort, as we know that we can come to God with anything, and he will completely understand what we feel. And as we consider that amazing truth, we also reflect upon how this inspires us to provide compassion, love and hope to those who are going through struggles, whether physically, mentally, emotionally or spiritually. So firstly, let's think about physical torment. Now, you probably noticed, but throughout these weeks of Lenten reflection, I've mentioned about the physical torment and agony that Jesus faced on the cross quite a lot. I've done this to remind us of what Jesus faced for our sakes. I think it is sometimes really tempting to sugarcoat the experiences of the cross and not really remember the brutality of it all. We see this in various pieces of artwork, depicting Jesus on the cross as serene, peaceful, victorious, regal. But they don't really think about how much agony he was in. The reality of the brutality of the cross should not be minimised. Jesus did truly suffer, from the violent flesh-rending lashes to the crown of thorns shoved on his head, nails hammered through his wrists and ankles, being constantly agitated as Jesus moved his body weight, pushing up on his feet to breathe until he became exhausted and slumped with his weight pulling on the nails in his arms, where he slowly suffocated as the exhaustion left him unable to lift his weight to breathe. The experience of crucifixion caused some quite specific damage to a body. And so it's strange that the words that Jesus cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," my God, why did you forsake me, are the beginning words of a Psalm of David, Psalm 22, which seems to have numerous descriptive elements that actually match the experience that Jesus suffered. So let's read the whole of that psalm, because when Jesus was quoting the first line of the psalm, he was meaning to include the whole essence of the psalm, the whole of the psalm. So it was a reference to the entirety of the psalm and not just to that first line. So let's read from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breath. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey open, their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honour him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord. And he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. It's quite a powerful psalm. And although this psalm was written centuries before the events of Jesus' crucifixion, much of the suffering depicted in the Psalms seems to fit the experience of someone being crucified. One commentator actually said, "Indeed so, for this is not a description of illness, but of execution." David talks about physical pain, and it relates quite a lot to Jesus' experience. In verses 14 to 16 it says, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet." So crucifixion would dislocate joints, so it would be accurate to say that Jesus' bones are out of joint. Those being crucified would also suffer extreme dehydration, causing their mouths to dry out and their tongue to feel like it was stuck to the roof of their mouth. And Jesus' hands and feet were pierced as he was nailed to the cross. Somehow, David's psalm foreshadows the agony that Jesus suffered on the cross. And through reading this psalm, we gain more of an insight into what it might have been like for Jesus as he suffered for us. This allows us to empathise more with what he suffered, and more importantly, to realise that his empathy with humanity led him to take our place. As we recognise Jesus' immense empathy with those in physical pains, so we consider our own compassion for those who are suffering. As most of you know, I suffer from a joint condition that causes me chronic pain, or in other words, I am always in some form of pain, whether mild or extreme. And so this gives me a unique insight and empathy for those who are also experiencing pain. And I find that it's been helpful, in a sense, to be able to understand what it's like for people who are suddenly experiencing prolonged pain, and to be able to offer what advice and comfort I can. It's perhaps one of the positive sides to my joint condition. But we don't actually have to have a personal experience with physical pain to understand and sympathise with those who are struggling. When we interact with someone in pain, what can we do to help make their lives easier? For example, we can learn from each other's experiences. Through my own experience of pain, I've realised how much we stand up to talk to each other. But if someone is suffering pain, forcing them to stand to have a conversation with you is generally not helpful or compassionate. So instead of making them have to ask to move the conversation to a seated position, we can learn to recognise someone is in pain and suggest that we take the conversation elsewhere where we can be more comfortable. This allows the one in pain to feel recognised and loved without being made to feel different or strange. Because it's quite frustrating always having to be the one to say, "Can we have a seat?" If someone else offers it, it feels a lot less intimidating. So even these simple things can help us to have compassion and empathy for those who are suffering physical pain or difficulty. How else might you be encouraged by Jesus' empathy with us to have empathy with others and to be compassionate to them in their physical distress? Of course, the physical torment was not the only thing to plague Jesus. Accompanying the physical pain was mental and emotional agony. And once again, Psalm 22 seems to provide insight into this, as we hear the psalmist voicing some of the pain that Jesus would have felt. So firstly, there was the mocking from those around him. The crowd, the Jewish religious authorities, the Roman soldiers, and even the criminal hanging next to him, all took the opportunity to throw insults and mocking taunts at Jesus as he hung on the cross. Mark records this account, saying that those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." It's interesting that David's psalm seems to foretell these events, as he also says, "But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." There is such a parallel between David's words in Psalm 22 and the words that are written in Mark 15. And it is quite striking at how much they seem to relate to one another. And so we can see some of the aspects in the psalm and realise that actually they were possibly words that Jesus was thinking, words that he was also feeling. So for example, in the psalm, we can sense the despair and depression of David as he chooses to describe himself as a worm and not a man, in part because all around him are cursing and mocking him. It leads me to wonder what Jesus was thinking and feeling while he was on the cross. Was he also filled with a sense of self-hatred and despair as all those around him shouted curses and mocking taunts, and as he took on the weight of our sin, which I would imagine would cause a great amount of guilt and hatred to build up with him? Obviously, we have no way of actually knowing, but I do feel that it might bring comfort to those who have negative feelings about towards themselves to realise that perhaps Jesus might know what it's like and be able to empathise with them. Understanding Jesus's empathy for those feeling, for those with feelings of self-hatred, low self-esteem, can help us to empathise with others. When we recognise the damage these words of hatred, curses, mocking taunts had on David the psalmist and on Jesus himself, it causes us not only to stop such behaviour if we had taken part in the past, but it also encourages us to step in when we see that what has happened is happening to others. How often do we see nasty words or snide comments being made either directly to someone or behind their backs? Is there anything we can do either to stand against those saying horrible things or to comfort those on the receiving end? How can we empathise more with those around us? Of course, the mocking and cursing from the crowd wasn't the only emotional and mental torment that Jesus suffered. He had to cope with the reality that some of his closest friends had either betrayed him, in the case of Judas, denied knowledge of him, in Simon Peter's case, or just outright fled and abandoned him, as the rest of the disciples did. And so there was this real sense of loneliness and abandonment that Jesus had to cope with. Loneliness can be such a debilitating feeling when we think that there is no one who cares, no one who will help. As David says in his psalm, "There is no one to help." It is a horrible feeling to have. And yet it seems that loneliness is an experience that so many people struggle through. We live in London, a densely crowded city, and yet so many people still feel utterly alone and abandoned. It's clearly true what they say, that you can feel alone in a crowd. people have recognised that loneliness is a serious public health issue, as feeling that sense of abandonment and alone and loneliness can have massive consequences on people's physical and mental health. Jesus went to the cross so that we don't have to be alone, and yet people still suffer from immense feelings of loneliness. So how can we help people who feel impacted by the profound sense of loneliness? As Jesus experienced this sense of loneliness, we know that we have a God who cares about the lonely. How might we show others that God cares about the lonely and wants to place them in families, in the family of God? One of the things that we most need to stop us feeling alone is for someone to listen. Sometimes people try to offer solutions that don't address the issue, or they offer empty platitudes, but all of this doesn't address our sense of loneliness. Have someone to listen to you and to really take time to hear can be more valuable than we realise. How can we be that listening ear to those around us who might be feeling ignored? How can we be present with people who are hurting? A song came on as I was writing this, which talks about how God is there with us in our deepest pain, not always giving solutions to the problems, but sitting there with us. The song said, "Oh God, it was in my deepest pain that I heard you call my name. I heard you say that you were right there with me." How can we be right there with people who are hurting, just like God is right there with us? Last, but certainly not least, Jesus experienced unbearable spiritual torment, while he was on the cross for us, so that we would never have to. When Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" it is not just because he feels like God isn't listening to him. No, for the first time in eternity, Jesus was cut off from the rest of the Trinity. He was completely alone for the first time ever. Someone who doesn't believe in God or who has rejected his sovereignty over them might say, "That's not bad. I've been cut off from God my whole life and I'm fine." But the reality is, while on this earth, we have never felt the awful agony of being cut off from God. Because as Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 45, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We all experience the wonderful blessings and the presence of God on earth because he gives it to us all, regardless of whether we believe in him or not. When Jesus was on the cross, he was completely cut off from God and from all that is good. He experienced hell for our sakes. When we die, if we believe in Jesus, we are reunited fully to God and experience his presence more powerfully and more wonderfully than ever before. But if we reject Jesus and chose to ignore his invitation, then we will be cut off from God forever because we have chosen to reject the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. When I reflect upon this again, I feel a great sense of urgency for people to be given the chance to accept the invitation of Jesus, for them to realise how important this gift to us is. I think sometimes we think of faith as a personal, private thing that we don't really need to share with others. We say to ourselves, "They believe something different to me, but that's okay. I don't need to help them understand about Jesus. It doesn't matter if we believe different things." Perhaps we might think to ourselves, all paths lead to God. It doesn't matter." But the truth is, it does matter. Jesus, and only Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Without Jesus, we are all spiritually lost, cut off from the wonder of knowing God. Without Jesus, we do not have the amazing honour of calling the Creator of the universe Father. By knowing Jesus, we are saved. But there are so many people who do not know who Jesus truly is. whether because they have never heard the gospel message, or they've been hurt by those who call themselves Christians, or they have misunderstood, or for whatever reason, there are so many people who do not know Jesus, and yet we all desperately need him. And so it is up to us to share the good news, to tell people about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. If we don't do it, who will? Now, obviously, I'm not trying to suggest that we go around forcing our beliefs on others, because that won't help people to understand and believe. If anything, it will push them away. But we do need to share the wonderful message of Jesus, to show them that he empathises with our position and gives us a way to be freed from the burden of our mistakes. Do we have empathy for the lost, for those who choose not to believe in Christ? Do we love them enough to want them to have the chance to accept Jesus? So as we've looked at Jesus' desolate cry on the cross, we see in him an invitation to empathy. His empathy with humanity, which led to him dying on the cross so that we could be forgiven and united to God. And also the call to have empathy and compassion for others. How does this call to empathy affect you and your plans for this coming week? What might God be calling you to do with the empathy he gives you? Who can you have empathy for? Let's spend a moment in prayer. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship you. We thank you so much that you had empathy on us, that you saw us in our sinful, broken, distraught condition, and you said, "No, I will restore them. I will bring them back to you." And so you sent Jesus to be the sacrifice that we needed, to take on all our mistakes, to take on all that we have done wrong. Lord, I thank you that you have compassion on us. You look at our lost state and you say, "Welcome. Come and be freed, come and be known, come and be made family." And so, Lord, for all those who are needing to hear that message today, I pray that we would be listening, that you would be speaking those words of invitation, those words of empathy into our hearts right now. And help us to share that message with others, to have compassion and empathy on all those around us, to share your good news, because we realise how vitally important it is for people to know you. Lord, I pray that you would be reigning in our hearts, so that we would have your spirit of compassion, your love, your empathy, to share with the whole world. In your holy name we pray. Amen.